this week's episode of Moral Victories. Dougie Dash is back in the building, and we have another guest, our other fellow handicapper, who might be better than I am, Travis DeLello. He's coming off a 9-3 week. I'm coming off a 1-5, but thankfully, we've given you a bunch of winners in the past, so hopefully you're sticking with us. With that, we talk what our leans are early in the week. We talk about the upcoming college football playoff rankings, and we talk a little bit more about what we like in the NFL. Look at some of those games this week. Really good slate in the NFL, really good slate in college football. So we hit on all of that. And with that, let's get to it.
Sports. The thrill of victory.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The agony of defeat.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
Every loss teaches a lesson that's important for a young athlete's development.
I mean, I'm really disappointed in the
of course,
kind of fucking progress that we've made.
But it's important to remember that sports is about having fun, not winning.
You're here for one goddamn specific reason.
What's that, Earl?
Jack us!
You're full of shit. Fuck you.
This is Moral Victories with Jared Shanker.
You really think I give a flying what the people on the radio call say?
I am your host, Jared Shanker, and flanked by two people today. Douglas Dash has made his triumphant return after about a three-week hiatus.
Yeah, I'm back. Not fully back, but I'm back.
Yeah, he's back enough. And joined by the one we call the unit, who might be the best handicapper in the room. We'll see about that later.
Well, he's dressed like one.
He does look good today. He's dressed in a full suit. Doug is dressed like he's on a trek to Antarctica, and I'm stripped down to my undershirt. It's a little warm in here today. But so we have Travis DeLello, our good friend, who also gets in with us when we do some gambling every single weekend. So we brought him in here, and we're going to get some of his picks. He went 9-1 last week?
9-2.
9-2. We have you down actually for 9-3.
Mizzou. Yeah.
That was
9-3.
I had given you some winners 2 weeks in a row, going 12-0. I went 1-5. It was a bad week.
That's not exactly what you're looking for.
No,
You're in the mountain time zone. You're just thrown off.
Actually, the thing was, I put in my bets, I think Friday, knowing I was going into the mountains first thing Saturday morning, and I wasn't going to be able to follow anything. So when I finally did get service around like 9 o'clock Eastern time, that was a fun like 30 seconds scrolling through box scores, seeing Duke blowing a 10-point fourth quarter lead, seeing Missouri blow a 10-point fourth quarter lead, seeing Florida and Georgia hit the over by a single point on a meaningless rushing touchdown from 35 yards
dogs.
Out. You guys had the over, didn't you?
Oh yeah,
I had dogs.
Dogs all day.
Dogs.
Yeah. Travis, a.k.a. the unit, a.k.a. Mr. Pepper Jones, he's more of the overs and favorites types, and everybody knows I'm a true underdog and unders. Nobody appreciates the kicking game more than I do. I love punts. Actually, no, fuck that. Kentucky covered because they took a punt back for a touchdown. So now this could be an overs and favorites week.
Yeah, I believe after me. I think we're the complete opposite. You like to have the majority of your picks in by Saturday morning. Meanwhile, I do not do anything until 10 minutes before the 12 o'clock, the 3:30, and the 7 o'clock games.
You have a good
idea. It's all on feel.
A lot of rules.
Generally, a good way to go is whoever the biggest favorites are that week, there's a good chance Travis is going to take them.
Yeah, pretty much.
But not this week. I'm looking at what you have written down. Obviously, you have Alabama. Because you take Alabama every week.
Every single week. Roll
Tide. So many points.
I forgot. You're going to the game this
weekend. Yeah, I'm out of control excited. Thursday morning, I head to New Orleans. Saturday morning, I'm taking a cab over to...
Cab all the way from...
Yeah.
...to Baton Rouge?
Yep. It's about an hour and 15 minutes.
Are you taking an Uber?
Like an Uber?
Uber, Lyft. They also have shuttles, I believe.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm walking right in there with... My Forrest
I was trying to
Gump
sneak
jersey.
In like some type of sponsorship, like we just can plug Uber or Lyft for a while, and eventually they'll start sponsoring. No, I forgot. That's going to be really sick.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
I was actually like, I feel like Bama giving 14 is a sort of, because it's weird that the line hasn't moved a whole bunch, because you would think that money would be pouring in on Bama at the fact that it's so low, but they've not beaten LSU by more than 14 in the last 4 years. Now, granted, this is probably the best team that Alabama's ever had under Nick Saban, but they generally, I feel like the game is never in doubt when they've played LSU most recently, except for, I think the last time was in doubt. They went to overtime and LSU threw a pick late in the game or something like that. But even if Alabama dominates, I'm not sure they're going to cover the 14.
It's
a lot of points.
But at LSU.
My theory is ESPN's talking, who has Alabama played? Really, they've played their starters for half the game.
Yeah.
Tua comes out, they let a team score a couple touchdowns, and they don't cover. Tua's not coming out of this game. He's going four quarters, and they're going hard at LSU. They need a big win and to finally prove to everyone that they've played someone.
How many points do you think Bama's going to put up? Or how many points do you think LSU will put up?
That's the question.
Because that Bama defense isn't as good as it has been, but they've also not had any reason to care.
Yeah, it's just like
their defense is like, one, we're going to be going to the NFL soon. I'm not going to exert my force against Missouri. But then also, I saw like Kirk Herbstreit tweeted out
they're going to score 56
to his
points.
Drive chart. It is like 95% touchdown drives. So there's no reason for the D to ever feel like they have to actually play hard.
And I'm also iffy on LSU's offense.
No, their offense sucks.
It's terrible. You know, they're not going to score. I think Bama's.
You don't think the offense is
going to go 45 points?
No, I was just actually thinking back to Bama's defense, and I think this might be the first year of my adult life I cannot name one like starter off the top of my head.
They don't have. Well, they've always kind of been like.
Yeah, but every year an Alabama player probably goes top 10.
Somebody used to work with compared them to like stormtroopers, just like faceless guards, just never break formation, just destroy everything. Actually, the stormtroopers kind of lose every real battle that they're in. But so Bama 14, are you going to end up taking that? You're going to the game in Bama gear in your Forrest Gump jersey?
Yep, 100%.
And then you're going to flip if LSU wins at the end of the game, right?
I'm going to have a shirt underneath LSU and walk to the bars. It's a win-win situation for me.
It's a smart move.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever discussed that. We all pick six favorite teams before the beginning of the year because it's way more fun. At this point, like I think we're past the age of where we actually truly care about any one particular team, and it's more fun to root for kind of seasons. You're a Lions fan, but like you already said, I asked you, would you rather have one Yankees World Series versus
Yankees World Series over any one Detroit Lions Super Bowl.
All right, what's
but that doesn't mean that I don't get drunk and belligerently tweet on Sunday afternoons when they're getting smoked by Russell Wilson. So,
all right, what's the quadratic formula of how many Yankees titles is equal to one Lions championship?
It's not quantifiable. It's just Yankees.
Would you take? So there is no amount of Lions success that would ever put them above ring number 28.
Zero.
Yeah, I got 28.
And 29 and 30 and however many more.
Okay. That's fair. Actually, no, that's actually really weird to me. See, that's what I'm saying. You can't truly be like a diehard Lions fan. You have a top six just like the rest
They're
of them.
They're not mutually exclusive, but I do have a top six. I have a top one and then five more.
What's your top six this year? See, this is what I'm saying. I feel like it's way more fun to have, and six is not excessive. There's 32 teams, so that's still rooting for less than 20% of the league. I feel like that's fair.
Yeah, but it's also different when you're gambling versus not gambling. Addictive gamblers need six favorite teams because one channel's just too damn boring on a Sunday or a Saturday.
I also think
to be scrolling through my phone at all times to have a good time.
I also think growing up watching Jets games also forced you to kind of have multiple favorite teams.
Out early.
Seasons over early. And then even when they were good, like they were still never exciting. Like you might have hit like
Sanchez years, they were just
you might have
like,
hit like a Santana Moss like punt return touchdown every like twice a year, but that was pretty much it.
Favre was cool, but
I forgot they didn't have
that
Favre.
Was cool for a while, but
yeah, all
that,
the dick pics? That was the best part.
Yeah. He showed a team employee's wiener. That was pretty cool. Actually, no, that's not cool. We don't endorse that type of behavior. at all.
Copperfit does.
Copperfit does. They got Jerry Rice now too as a sponsor guy. I saw that when I was walking through the hospital coming back from Denver.
It's only far a matter throwing, time for Frank far Thomas. Throwing, yeah. jumps from eugenics to Copperfit.
Well, he's exerting a lot of energy now, so those joints are going to be a little bruised up, if you know what I'm saying. You should actually wear your Baker jersey to the LSU Alabama game.
It's still red.
That
so,
is true.
But no, I'm going in full Rolling Tide. I'm in it.
I think the Browns are probably going to look, and now that they fired Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, it's clear, I would think it's pretty clear that you're going to have to get an offensive coach because you have Baker Mayfield. The defense already is pretty solid, but like you're not going to win anything without a quarterback in the NFL. And I feel like you have to, whether it was like Doug Peterson and the Eagles or Sean McVay with Jared Goff, like you have to have a head coach that's offensive if you're going to turn these guys into good players. So I feel like it's almost a guarantee that they're going to go with an offensive guy. I'm just curious as to how much they'll give Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma like a look. Considering he's the one, because he was the offensive coordinator there when Baker was, before he took the head coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. The only question there is, would he be able to progress some of the already tenured NFL players? You have Landry, you have some people who definitely have some attitudes on the team. Will a college coach be able to wrangle those players?
They should bring back Josh Gordon.
They should bring
the new
back
coach
Josh.
Should bring back Josh Gordon immediately, because he's probably going to get cut by the Pats soon.
I'm surprised
he's pretty much Stephen. He's pretty much the 2018 version of Stephen Ridley. Like, didn't he had a bad drop yesterday? Actually, I've only watched about 10 minutes of the game yesterday. I saw the weird graphic where they were just shoving former Bills quarterbacks off Niagara Falls, and yeah, I watched Bush.
Tyrod went
Bush
kind
halftime.
Of like voluntarily.
Traded him.
I know. In the graphic, I think I remember seeing him like chuck up a deuce and then just like turn around and like hightail it down the river.
He was paddling off his raft.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate. I didn't appreciate them killing off Ty God.
No, it's your guy. It's your guy.
No, and they let Nate Peterman stay. That's bullshit. I get like he's not cut yet, but
he's starting. He's possibly starting. Derek Anderson has a concussion, so
really
jump on the Bears now if you can.
Is that who they're playing this week?
Yeah. For like one of my picks, I got him at like 5.5, so I'll be taking that.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. But that's actually that's one of the few really bad games this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games this week.
I wrote it down here: Rams and Saints.
Yeah, Rams, Saints, Packers, Pats are.
I don't know if I have enough money in my bank account to bet the over on that Rams Saints game.
What about? Are you more confident in the Oklahoma Texas Tech over?
It'll probably be 56. It'll probably be definitely 52, 56.
Yeah.
I still think that's low. It's going to be a 35-27 game.
Yeah, somewhere.
There's going to be 60 points scored in that game.
Are they in LA?
No, they're in
They're in the dome?
Yeah, in the dome.
I was going to say, if they're in...
Can you make that? Can you make that game, too?
No, I think I fly back Sunday night, but that would be unreal.
Yeah,
I need to be back Monday, but yeah.
You should just skip work.
No. You guys can't do this to me again.
The old Travis would have skipped work.
Quit your job, okay.
Rams, Saints, Packers, Pats.
Lions, Vikes. That's borderline a good game. A meaningful game, if not a good one.
It's definitely a meaningful game. Lions, Vikes, I know this is going to sound like something Mike Francesa would say, but it's either always very close or it's a blowout. Like, I never find that the game goes one way or the other. And it's never the Lions blowing them out either, by the way. It's either Lions winning close or Lions losing by a lot in that. So
they don't blow out a lot of people.
I have them at
the Lions.
I have Vikings right now at -5.5, and I honestly think I would probably take that.
They're in Minnesota?
Yeah. Based off of how poorly they played against Seattle.
Well, the Lions are going to do that every single year. They're going to beat the Packers and then just, you know, completely shit the bed.
Yeah, get blown out by like 30 points by the Jets.
That's pretty much what they do.
I just have Chiefs Browns. Chiefs Browns is a fun game. Browns are getting 8.5.
I did see that Chiefs. I didn't write that down. I don't know why. Chiefs and Browns are two of my top favorite.
Mahomes,
my six
Mahomes
teams.
And Baker. That's a fun quarterback game.
Yeah. Oh, and they're playing the same week as Oklahoma Texas Tech.
Oh yeah. Wow, that is awesome.
If you had to bet the over only on one of them, would you take? I think that's 78. Oklahoma Texas Tech.
78.
Yeah.
That's high.
That's a lot of
points.
And
I'm still going to take it, but like, let's be honest. That's going to be a really high-scoring game. I mean, I think they're minus 11, Oklahoma, as well.
Yeah, they're
so,
giving
11. You're talking.
On the road.
I need like a 55-27 game.
Well, that easily covers the 11.
78, yeah, easily covers the 11, but you're trying to think of a realistic outcome here.
55-27.
That's high.
Yeah, that's really high. That's a lot of points. I don't know if Oklahoma could hit that. Although the Texas Tech defense is actually pretty good this year.
Oklahoma's defense is terrible.
Not good.
They
showed up last week when
always
I had
has been.
When I had Kansas State. I thought actually I kind of felt more comfortable with the over and I didn't take it.
Can we just talk about Bill Snyder for like 2 seconds? Like
the wizard?
Yeah, what's going on there?
I think he's reached like
is this it?
I think
is this
he's
it?
Reached like Paterno Bowden stage.
Right? Yeah. I see him sometimes walking the sideline and I'm just
but
like,
I don't know. They just won three in a row before before getting killed by Oklahoma. Well, the problem is I think there's like an internal battle. He wants his son to take over.
Ooh, nepotism.
And I think Kansas State I could just be making this whole thing up.
Oh,
I don't ever look into actual like
we spread rumors here,
folks. Yeah, I don't fact check anything anymore. But I believe the story is that he wants to hand choose his successor, which might be his son. If he has a son on staff, I also don't know that 100%.
Does he realize that Kansas State is a publicly funded university, and that's not really how it works?
Well, did you see Maryland is going to keep DJ Durkin?
I did see that,
because
yes.
They'd rather fire the president than...
Yeah, I was told that I saw that it was either... He was like, you either fire him or you'll get fired. And
they're like, yeah, we'll get rid of you guy.
Right.
Pretty simple decision. We're going to keep the guy that killed the child.
But, like, his program's not even good. And, like, forget about
recruiting. You're putting your reputation and your school's, like, funding or donations on the guy that's won, like, four... Big Ten games.
Like, forget about 2019. You're not like there's no recruiting this year.
None of these teams are.
And they played well under Matt Canada.
Rutgers has what 5 decommits in the past like month and a half.
I'm actually shocked they had 5 commits.
It's unbelievable.
I was thinking about that a couple of days ago. I was like, man, do you even want to play for Rutgers if you're like the in-state? Like, if you were even like a low 3-star guy, do you even want to play for Rutgers at this point?
No.
And that was so cool when Rutgers was good. And now it sucks because they suck.
Yeah, Ash is like, everyone thought Ash was going to bring in this great defense, and they are just getting mauled.
Where do you come from?
Ohio State.
Right, yeah, right.
I knew Chris Ash decently well when I was at ESPN, and I did want to see him succeed. He's not done that at all, which is unfortunate. They're really bad now. And like they were getting worse under Kyle Flood, but this is like as bad as they've ever been, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
like I might put that team that played the first ever football game ever against Princeton
like 18,
against this Rutgers team, and I think it would be close.
Covered the spread once this year?
Maybe once,
This past weekend against Northwestern, or that was 2 weekends ago.
Okay, so then I think that makes it twice, because I think they covered it once earlier in the beginning of the year, or my taxi driver was lying.
Big
to
Rutgers
me.
Guy?
Yeah, he was, and I was like, did they even cover the spread once? And he was like, yeah. Yeah, one time. So
you take his word for it?
Yes, I am. So I guess that makes it two now. So.
It's like the kids in the Little Giants. We covered one time.
One time.
You beat Kevin down Cherry Hill.
One time. But we talked about this before. The state of New York sports is bad.
Yeah, well, now it's bad that Yanks are out.
There's nothing. Actually, the Red Bulls, I think they finished with the best record in MLS.
Good for them.
Yeah. So,
I watched Knicks Nets last night, and I mean, Knicks looked good against the Nets last night.
They lost the first time they played.
They're not good.
Giants are going to get worse and worse. I took them this past weekend.
You see today the backup quarterback got arrested?
It seems very vague. I wonder if Eli was involved in that. Because last year, like, they didn't, like,
this
it was
kid don't got no PBA card, you know?
It's the most Jersey thing that happened.
Oh my god, big time!
Hey, Tony,
over in Parsippany.
Tony, look who it is.
Route 4.
Hey,
no, but something
pretty familiar.
Something weird about it. Like he hit where like he like almost hit his a cop with nobody, his car.
Nobody actually knows what happened.
Real strange.
Yeah. So because I feel like last year when they talked about benching Eli, the whole fan base didn't want it to happen, and then Ben McAdoo did it, and that ultimately pretty much got him fired because he just pissed off the entire Giants fan base. Now I feel like the Giants fans are at a point where they are okay if Eli gets benched or traded.
He got sacked 7 times last week. Now, is that Eli or is that more the line? I mean, there's definitely he's missing a lot of throws. Definitely.
Actually, Eli's spin, a little spin here, a little PR. Eli's highest completion percentage is this year.
Yeah, because he's throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage to Saquon 9 times a game.
He's got no time to look at anything. When you're getting hit 7 times as a quarterback, yeah. I mean, you got to be a little scared. And yeah, I mean, if you've seen his face, he looks terrified back there.
No, I think at this point, it's just Eli is done.
Yeah.
He's more done than Gronk is.
Oh, I knew that was coming out of your mouth.
Gronkowski's done.
Yeah, he is.
You didn't want to believe it at the beginning of the year.
Did
Brady
end
up throwing any touchdowns?
One. No, he did not.
Ooh, that 32, under 32 and a half Brady touchdowns, that just swung on this Bulls game, I think.
Did he throw one? No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. But 2 weeks ago when he grabbed Gronk by the head and said, "Don't worry, baby, we're going to play forever," and Gronk just had his head down.
He did Eli.
Gronk does not – he's barely running. He doesn't look like he wants to play at all.
I think I really believe this could be his last year.
His body is destroyed.
I think he's one of those guys that he probably loves football, but he loves actresses more or like the other like fun stuff you can do in life. And he's probably close to 30 now. This is what his 7th, 8th year in the league. His body's been completely destroyed. He's literally going out looking like the Bud Light Knight, just like in armor at all times. Like he has like a sheath on his arm. Like he's got extra padding. I think he's probably like I honestly believe this is going to be his last year.
If they win a Super Bowl, let's say, and he could ride off into the sunset.
You think he even cares about riding off in the sunset?
No.
I think actually that's his nightmare, that they have to play 4 more playoff games. I think he's just waiting for January 1st. Like he's just hoping for a Pats collapse right there.
They were showing him on the sideline last night, and you know, he always has pretty much the blank stare on his face. But it did cross my mind. I was like, what is he thinking right now? Just like how much he just doesn't want to be here. Like,
yeah, he's definitely thinking about just wanting to be in bed.
I don't even know if he can think anymore. Playing the new Call of Duty. I mean, I was going over this with, I forget who the other day, but everyone's so thrilled about how long Brady has been playing, but yet all these poor souls that he's had at his exposure, like Wes Welker's got nothing left.
Yeah, he's killed
a lot
of men. Dola
got nothing. Edelman's going to have nothing left. Gronk got nothing left. He throws the ball over the middle, and these people get killed.
Edelman is a little savage, too. Like, I think he purposely tries to concuss himself. The one where he took the penalty for blocking on the punt return.
Yeah, last
he
night
launched
he just,
himself.
He just headbutted that dude.
Yeah,
he
just headbutted
him. Yeah,
yeah. He's just. But the other guy, like Amendola, Brady abused him. Like I feel like Dola could bring charges on Brady.
Welker too. Welker's just as bad.
Yeah. I think Peyton got Welker killed too. There was when he took a real bad concussion. I think with the Broncos.
I'm sure.
Welker. Yeah, that's pretty much his whole career was just concussion after concussion.
Peyton was like, "Are you done with that?" And Brady was just like, "Yeah, man, here you go."
And poor Dola, Welker had to start taking Molly to make his head feel better.
Is that true?
Yeah, he got caught with Molly at the Derby.
No way.
Yeah,
his brain's all mush. He's like, "Well, let's try this now. Let's see what happens."
Oh, man. I don't mean to laugh at the issues that they're going to have, but the Pats receivers have definitely account for like 15% of the NFL concussions each year. Pats receivers.
Yeah, probably. Basing that on nothing other than
completely anecdotal. Yeah, it's completely anecdotal.
I would say that's a good number.
Yeah. And no facts behind this. We might not be the most successful betting podcast. But anecdotally, we probably, you know, I think we are. You went 9-3. I'm 37-17.
I had a good first week on Twitter as well. I think I'm doing pretty
well. Oh, yeah. Travis on Twitter now.
Yep. @TravisDelello.
You got eight.
No, isn't it?
No, you're not even. That's not even the right one.
Is it?
That's like when we give the...
Just look up Travis.
That's like when I give the social handles at the beginning of the show. I'm not really sure what they are. And we don't tweet or post at either of them.
Yeah, so...
But I'm at Jared_Shanker. And I put the pics on the website, jaredshanker.com/pics. Travis, he's... Wait, look up what your Twitter handle is.
I think
and people can follow you.
Yeah, it's either DeLello Travis or Travis DeLello.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't find it. I thought it was Mr. DeLello.
No, I think
I don't want anybody ever following me ever.
No, so. We don't want that too. You like to tweet, you like to tweet drunk.
Oh, yeah, it's at DeLello Travis.
Yeah.
It's a personal
thing. Jared_Shanker. Either Friday or Saturdays, I give my picks. Travis, he just gives them like 5 minutes before.
It's about
37, and I was 37. Like, I kneeled last week. I'm not going to lie. I kneeled and took and went 1-5. That was bad.
We'll get it back.
But it really could have been 3-3 if Missouri holds and Duke holds. The Georgia one I can't be upset about because Georgia got stopped at the goal line like 15 times and that one should have been an easy over. But this week, why don't you start off, Pepperoni?
This week plays to your strengths, I believe. We're getting a couple dog picks here, but I'm not going to bet them. I really can't.
I really only see one dog here.
So, I like West Virginia.
Okay.
2.5 points. Plus 2.5. I might take the money line. I think they're going to win the game outright.
Against Tejas?
Sorry?
Against Tejas?
Yes. I think they're going to win that game outright. So, I think if you're going to do a money line bet, West Virginia is the smart bet there.
See, Tom Herman almost wanted to fight Mike Gundy, who's a man, and 50.
No, I did not see that.
You can cough into the mic. That's fine. I coughed into the mic last week.
I think me and you are riding together early in the week, Pitt, Virginia over 49.
Yeah, Pitt doesn't score nearly as much on the road, although they did score a lot against Syracuse, but that defense is always kind of suspect. I do believe that the Pitt defense is bad, and Virginia's offense is functional enough where they get to 20. You're pretty much counting on Virginia to at least get to 30, which I think they can do.
Definitely plausible, especially early in the week.
The Friday game, right?
Friday, and then Friday as well, I have Middle Tennessee State University minus 13 versus Western Kentucky. I find that to be one of my locks of the week early on a
Ooh.
Friday.
See, I don't think Middle Tennessee is good. I think they've gone, and I've said this before in the show,
they
I think they're mostly reputation.
FAU this year, but FAU is like good this year.
No, they didn't. They came back from like down 21 to beat FAU.
This year?
Yeah. I think they won by one.
For real?
Yeah, FR.
Ooh.
For real.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, why don't you fact check that. I don't fact check, but that one I'm positive, I know. I had Charlotte against Middle Tennessee 2 weeks ago, and that was a cover. They were a 17-point favorite and didn't cover. But I don't think Middle Tennessee is nearly as good as they used to be. But all right, so you got two midweek games.
As we had mentioned, I'm definitely rolling Tide, Bama minus 14, Oklahoma minus 11. And then the dog situation comes out. I like Mizzou, plus 5.5.
At Florida?
Yes. I think Locke had a couple rougher weeks recently, and he's due for a big game. End of the season's coming by. He's got to start making more of his push for a higher draft status.
Yeah, he was somebody that everybody kind of pointed to before the year as being the guy who... But I feel like every year, people like to pick a random player and say, oh, he's going to be the number one pick. Like, Josh Allen said that everybody wanted Josh Allen to be that guy, and
who's the kid who's supposed to be really good this year, but their team is just like the worst team ever? Maybe he's a TCU quarterback, maybe?
No.
Was he?
No, nobody expected their quarterback to be good.
What's his name?
Sean Robinson?
Oh, no. That's not what I'm thinking of. No.
Yeah, definitely not.
Somebody else who's supposed to be good, and then they're just, like, so bad, and he's a quarterback.
And it's not Josh Allen?
No. This year.
And for college or NFL?
Yeah, in college.
It might have been Locke, because Mizzou's not playing too well this year.
Drew Locke's had some good games, but he's had some real, real tough ones.
Yeah, I think he's more NFL-ready, because he's a good pocket thrower, but at this point, I don't think there's anything NFL ready coming out of college. You know, all these kids are getting thrown in first year and just
kind of sucks that Tua gets to come back.
Yeah.
Because college football is, You should, if you play for Bama, the minute you score a touchdown, you should be able to declare for the NFL.
Oh, I take that back. Tua is probably the most ready, but he'll probably get drafted early, play the first year, and do nothing. Look at Jameis. Look at all these guys that are sitting, that aren't sitting. They're coming in first year, they're not learning anything, and then they're done within 2 years.
Jameis is bad. I took a lot of heat, as you would expect. I have so many FSU followers when I say Jameis.
Kenny Hill. Maybe that's what I was talking about.
That was a few years ago. 2 years ago?
Okay.
I don't think that's who you're talking about anyway.
Maybe not.
I took a lot of heat when I said Jameis was struggling last year. But he stinks, man. I feel like he was only good that 1 year in college. 54 picks. Actually, these are the one number I did look up before. 54 picks, 35 fumbles in 49 games.
It's a lot. It's a lot of turnovers.
Benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick, who he's the Mendoza line of, like, are you a good quarterback? Because he does this.
Can you beat Ryan Fitzpatrick out for a job?
Yes. Then you are starting worthy caliber. Because he is, like, the most. Ryan Fitzpatrick's looking pretty good right now to, wow, Fitzpatrick doesn't deserve to be on an NFL roster. So if you can't out. Yeah,
Book said last night about Peterman.
That was
just
mean.
He's like, I don't
think
he's
a leader of men.
Yeah.
He said this man is not a leader of men.
No, you're right. Fitzpatrick is that guy.
Do you got anything else for us, though? Travis has to get out of here.
I do have to. I guess we have an interesting game in Michigan versus Penn State. I think that line's
high. Are you still a Michigan fan?
Yeah, I like to see them win. You know, definitely years ago.
So Michigan,
they're top.
Michigan, Bama,
Michigan,
LSU,
Bama,
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. I'm actually in on Iowa this year.
Big Iowa guy
game.
Now?
They have a tough game against Purdue, but the Michigan-Penn State game is a troubling game. I want to bet Michigan, but I think it's, 9.5 right now?
I saw it open at 10.
I mean, that's a lot of points. And, you know, Big Ten, a rivalry, you know, Penn State can bring their game. And
I would lean Penn State for sure. That could be one. If it's at 10,
that's high.
I think I'll definitely take Penn State. But also, I think I'd just rather also take Penn State so I can root for them as well.
Yeah, most likely I won't bet the game if I don't like betting dogs. You know, I have the rule.
Yeah.
Dogs, I mean, favorites and overs,
what about,
that's it.
Are you going to take Iowa or Purdue? Because that was a small, isn't it, 2.5?
Yeah, it's 2.5. It's low. If I take it, it's going to be money line either way. I don't think it's going to be where the spread's going to matter.
Yeah. In those Big Ten games, 2 points could be a lot because it really could be like a 10 to 12 game.
Yeah, I was looking. Iowa really hasn't played anyone. I think their hardest opponents like Iowa State. They've played nobody this year.
They've lost their two toughest games.
Yeah.
They lost to Penn State. They lost to Wisconsin.
So, I mean, they really don't have too much. Purdue plays really well. They play fast. So I think I would like actually take Purdue in that game.
Before you go, what's going on in hockey?
Right now, I don't care.
No pucks are given on this show.
So
not a puck.
The Rags
never
are just
given a puck. Although we all should, we all like hockey.
No, we don't.
I thought you liked going to hockey games.
Yeah, when it's free and it's the playoffs. But
yeah, I mean the Rags are hard to watch right now.
Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers. Rags. A lot of young kids just not
Devils
playing well together. Devils. They looked great last
year. Great
analysis.
Young kids playing bad.
It's just they've got nothing going for them. They look atrocious.
Yeah.
Every game, I mean, how much can Henrik do? He's getting old. I thought they should have gotten rid of him a couple years ago, but now he's never going to get a cup, and his legacy is just dead. Like, I feel terrible for him because he's one of the best goalies of all time.
He'll never be Richter. He officially has to be below Richter as far as
he's talking about for that 28th. I am dying for a Stanley Cup. You know, years ago when they lost to the Kings, I was just that was the closest we've been, and just a
whole fucking Dan Girardi, worst player in the NHL history.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to take a slap shot from the blue line. It's unbelievable. He takes these wrist shots and can't score anything. It's just he used to frustrate me so bad.
Yeah, he frustrated everybody who's ever cheered for the Rangers.
All right, gentlemen, it was a pleasure being back again. Hopefully, you'll have me again soon.
Nope,
but I gotta run.
All right, get out of here, buddy. Thanks for having us. Did you write down your picks? Do you have five? You have a couple NFL picks for us?
Yeah, I do.
What are you looking at? Because I don't look at NFL until I get my college stuff out of the way.
All right.
Because the college lines will move.
We want to go over now.
The college lines will move a lot more violently than the NFL lines do.
By the way, I saw, just before I get to my picks, I saw that you wrote down Lakers are 2-5, but does anyone know? And
honestly, I did not know the Lakers were doing so poorly.
I knew that they weren't doing great, and I know they're not going to do great, but with LeBron being on the West Coast, like...
That's part of it, too.
I really just don't ever know when they're playing. If I don't watch SportsCenter the next morning, then I will have no clue what went on.
I saw they lost to the Timberwolves. I didn't even know if Jimmy Butler
was last night.
I didn't even know if Jimmy Butler was playing.
Yeah, and he balled, actually.
Did he?
Yeah. Because I watched the highlights this morning. Other than that, then I would have never known.
I've not watched a highlight ESPN type. Like, nobody other program really does highlights. ESPN doesn't even really do highlights.
No. In the morning they do.
Yeah, well, they do LeBron highlights for sure.
Right.
They do like four highlights. It'll be the LeBron, whatever LeBron did. Probably something on the Pats.
And then just erroneous NFL.
Erroneous.
Just always like. It'll be some storyline,
definitely anthem kneeling.
Yeah, or, Ty Montgomery, controversy, or the fallout, and that's what they'll call it. Speaking of, he just got traded to the Ravens.
Wow, they immediately got rid of Ty Montgomery?
Yeah. Yeah, they traded him for, a seventh-round pick in, 2019 or 2020.
I didn't see it. Was the kickoff that deep into the end zone where it was... incredibly dumb for him to take it out,
you gotta.
It's just you have Aaron Rodgers and you can't.
I think you have to know. I think it's your job
to just catch the ball,
yeah, exactly.
And just give it back to Aaron Rodgers.
Tate got traded today for a third. Which
they're gonna win the division again. I feel like
who Eagles?
Yeah, they're just gonna come back and win the division again.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, Redskins traded for Clinton Dix, which is.
There are a lot of trades in the NFL now.
Yeah, there was. There was. It was kind of like baseball-y.
So who did the Packers get for HaHa? Because they're in the middle of a division. They're in a divisional hunt.
Maybe a four. Yeah, Lions are right there, 3-4. And they traded Tate for a third. But I like that. Unrestricted free agent, I think, at the end of the year. So get the third for him. But so think about that though. That Eagles gave up a third round pick for 8 games.
Golden Tate. Yeah.
Same thing with the Rams. Rams went and got Dante Fowler.
I feel like these teams unnecessarily love draft picks. A third is a pretty high draft pick.
Yeah, third is nice. I expect a first, a second, a third to be major contributors on the team.
Yeah.
With the hopes that one of them will become a stud, right? That you want to call anything from 4 through 7.
But when guys get traded for, if somebody gets traded just for a seventh round pick or a conditional pick or sixth round picks, I always think there's really, you're not going to get anything back for, that sixth round pick might as well just never happen.
Yeah,
that guy's not going to make the roster.
9 times out of 10. And then sometimes you get,
For Demaryius Thomas gets traded for Demaryius Thomas, and they have to even give a seventh rounder back. So essentially, Demaryius got traded for a fourth rounder.
Right.
Which, I guess if you're the Broncos, that's probably all you can get because people know you're trying to ship Demaryius because you're not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also if you know you're not going to re-sign him, I'd rather just get a cheaper and then see what happens, see if you hit. It makes sense.
It makes sense to give up the fourth. I just feel you could get more. I don't know. The team's unwilling to move draft picks for players has always been weird to me. Outside of like you said, a first, second, or third round pick,
right?
Then I feel I would trade everything every year.
Yeah, I mean you got to think about contracts, and we won't get into the weeds of it. But
no, I don't want to think about contracts.
More or less, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got? What are you looking at this week? Right,
excuse me, I'm a little nasally today.
You always have your deeper voice probably hides it somewhat.
Yeah, maybe, but I'm feeling it. Okay. So my weekly pool, I've gone 4-1 the last 2 weeks, which
that's almost like a little tease.
It's tough because
you got to hit 5.
You got to hit 5, and then you win the pot. Last week the Bucks coming back was the
oh
game,
you had
was
you had the Bengals
lost. Yeah, Bengals 4.5,
and they ended up losing by 3, right?
I had the Bucks. They won. Yeah, they won by 3. They kicked a field goal. I'll tell you,
damn Fitzpatrick.
That was the one game too that when I left my apartment, I was like, oh, they're up 19 and
well, they did that 2 weeks ago. They lost to the Dolphins. They're up 17.
Right.
And it's like, oh, and people that had the Bengals at like plus six.
I think.
Oh, this is easy.
I don't know if the Bengals are on bye this week, but.
Oh, no, that was the other way. The Miami Dolphins were up 17-0 and then blew it to the Bengals.
Yeah. And the Eagles were up 17-0 to the Panthers, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's just a nice fact that you provided for us.
All right. Packers, Pats. I'm just going to start with, I think that's the top game of the week.
What is the, give the people the line. Not everybody has it.
I got
minus
6.5. Okay. So just for, I guess, perspective, because it's a pool, like whatever the line comes out at,
yeah,
it just stays. Yeah. So, if you do not see this line and you happen to be listening to this advice for some reason, that's on you.
Anecdotally, we're the most successful.
I agree.
Gambling sports betting podcast.
So,
where are you going?
I think I'm gonna take the Packers.
Getting 6.5?
Yeah.
I like that.
Like last week against the Rams, it was 10. Rodgers came out.
I had the
did his thing.
Yeah. I had the Packers that one.
Did you? I didn't.
I got it at 7.5. So it got tens at the end.
10, yeah. Oh yeah, I can imagine. And then Pats, I don't know, like they looked okay last, like, you know, like I don't know. It's this is a game that I think could definitely go either way, but I'll take Aaron Rodgers and the points in prime time. I guess that's what it's going to come down to.
That's one of those where the line is 6.5 because I think a lot of people could see the Pats winning by 7.
Right.
If you make it more than 7 or you make it 7, I think people are going to hammer the Packers.
Yeah, I'm saying, again, 6.5 if... Let's say Packers come out, get the ball first, Aaron Rodgers driving down the field, and then I'm sitting up 13.5.
Yeah, you're in a good spot.
I feel real good.
Yeah.
So, and even if Pats score first, and then it's a shootout from there, like,
yeah,
I don't feel that bad. So, I'll lean Packers there. Second game of the week, Rams Saints. Saints minus 1.5. It's hard to pick against Drew Brees in the dome. I think it's a 4 o'clock game too.
Yeah, it is a 4 o'clock game.
Maybe it's America's game of the week. I'm not sure.
It's my game of the week.
Yeah, it's a great game. Rams, you know,
the Bruno Bars official game of the week.
They look unstoppable. Rams, they look great.
I mean, they should have. They've almost lost a couple times now.
I know. Saints defense is bad. Rams defense isn't that much better.
They just traded for Dante Fowler.
Yeah, I know. Think about that defensive line, if we can digress for 2 seconds. I think all four defensive linemen are almost top 15 picks. Sue was a 2. Fowler was a 3 or a 4.
Donald was like top 10.
Donald was like a 13. He was a 13 because he went one pick after Iran. Holla. Oh, so he was 12, and Odell was 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was the same draft class as Iran?
Yeah, Iran went 11, I think, and went Iran, Jones, Odell. I believe in that order.
Wow.
And then Michael, who's a Brockers, right, is the other guy on there. And he was a high draft pick. So that's pretty crazy. I think I'm gonna take Breeze.
Okay.
They haven't looked good. Honestly, like I guess he didn't look bad against the Vikings,
they beat the Vikings by a good amount.
The field was though, like Drew Brees himself did not look like.
Yeah.
But he really didn't have much to do. So, I guess it's less than a field goal, so it's pretty much a pick 'em. I'll just take Saints at home.
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay.
That's your game of the week.
Yeah, it is my game of the week. I don't say game of the week as far as I have a great play on it right now.
Right, just to purely watch it.
But I would take the Rams.
Okay.
I would take the Rams. I think they're the better team. And
yeah, I agree.
If you're just pretty much asking them to win outright, I believe that can be done.
Yeah. Okay.
Although I was impressed with what the Saints did on the road against Minnesota.
They looked pretty good.
Yeah.
They did. It looked like they were just controlling the game pretty easily.
Yeah, they went down 13-7 and then just beat the hell out of them after that.
They give up like a lot of like larger chunk plays, I feel like. Every time Adam Thielen touched the ball, it was like 18-yard play.
Well, that dude's an animal.
Well, right, but... all right, third game of the week, Steelers-Ravens. I have Ravens minus 3.5, so I think I'm going to take the Steelers on that. And pretty
you feel good about that?
Feel pretty good about that, okay. Honestly.
Okay.
Ravens are always, like, okay. And I know Steelers.
See, but when the Ravens come off a stinker like they just had,
they
usually bounce back.
Yeah. I'll take the Steelers with the points.
I'm just warning you.
In a
this is what Flacco
game.
Does.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Flacco, he's garbage. Time to put Lamar in. And even though that's their offense always looks terrible with Lamar. And then they just look unstoppable like a playoff team the next week. So I'm just warning you.
We'll see.
I'm just warning you.
We'll see. We got Chiefs at Browns. I think also those Steelers are just the more desperate team.
Desperation.
I think if I'm like, what are they, like 3-3-1 and Ravens are like 5-3 maybe?
Sounds accurate.
So I think Steelers really need this. They're playing for the city. Can never take that lightly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right, Chiefs, Browns. Browns again, 8.5. It's a lot of points. But I think I like the Chiefs here.
Okay.
You know, especially after.
You're gonna give a little.
Especially after the week. After the week the Browns had.
Yeah. Who's their interim coach?
He had a funny last name. It's like something like, what, a cushion or like couch or.
Tim Couch?
No. He did play quarterback for them.
I honestly have no idea who they named. Because they're not doing Greg Williams.
Think about that. Think about how out of everybody, Greg Williams is the one that survived this.
That is like the most dysfunctional coaching staff ever. Todd Haley and Greg Williams in one coaching room.
Greg Williams is the...
They should make the offensive line coach.
Greg Williams is the head coach.
Oh, he's the interim coach?
Yes.
Huh. Well then.
Yes.
Do they play the Saints this year?
That's a good question. I think they might have already.
Oh, they did already play the Saints
this
year.
They did, right?
Year.
I thought so. Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay.
All right.
Good for him.
So are those your picks? Did you run through them all?
And then I'm going to take the Chiefs in that game. And then Lions at Vikings, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
I'll probably take the Vikings.
Okay.
I don't think I'll bet that game, though, but I will always give a Lions-Vikings pick.
Mm-hmm.
So the game that I will bet is Bears-Bills, 5.5.
Yeah, go
Bears.
With the Bears.
Yeah, Bears.
Okay. I like them. I like the Bears one. I like the Bears one. You get it at 5.5, too.
Yeah.
On the road, I'm guessing?
Yeah, Bills are at home.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It's going to be the Nate Peterman show, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's not a leader of men, according to Boog McFarland. So
yeah.
I'll take the Bears.
All right. I didn't do a deep dive into my college picks yet. I do them on Tuesday. I do like an early lean because we do the show on Tuesdays, but I'm never super confident in them. Though I've been pretty successful picking them. But
you've had a good year.
It has been a good year, though I'm worried. Like, it's such an unsustainable pace. Like, to be 75% all year when I was 36-12 going into last week.
Well, I mean,
there'll still be 20
games
above.
You showed some chinks in the armor last week.
I did. I knelt.
So we'll see if that's a blip or if that's... If it's the start of a trend, you know?
I actually get nervous.
Everybody gets cold.
I feel like, I was saying this to my one buddy, I feel like I'm like on a free throw streak right now. But going to last week, we're just like, oh my God, the pressure is mounting so much.
Right. You got to just...
And I did feel bad that I gave out some bad picks because it's like, man, people did bet money on that. And they probably lost a little bit. I lost a lot.
Yeah, you ever gotten a bad tip from somebody and then lose money?
You guys all the time, probably.
Yeah, so, you know, it's okay.
And I still like you guys.
Yeah, it's all right.
Thanks, I feel better. I do feel better now.
I was going to say, nobody's putting a gun to that person's head being like, bet the money, you know?
It
was his choice.
I like to believe
that
anybody who takes my advice is in desperate need of money. And I'm here to save them. But okay. It probably is they bet like $10 on the game and now they can, like, buy something terrible. You going to cough again, bud? All right. Well, while Doug is away from the mic, I'll get right into my leans for the week. Like I said, 1-5 last week, but 12-0 before that. 37-17 on the year. Follow along on Twitter at Jared_Schenker, and on the new site jaredschenker.com/picks PICKS. I had Houston last week, and I kind of like them, like the other side now.
SMU?
Yeah. Houston, the line was funky being a 7.5 point favorite against USF, but USF, just they weren't playing well. And I do like what Houston does, especially on offense. Ed Oliver, still a little shaky. I'm not sure what his status is on Tuesday, whether he's going to play or not. But SMU, they're not a great team. They are very capable of being blown out. At the beginning of the year, I think their offense had like 13 yards going into the fourth quarter of a game, which is not promising. But
no, it's not.
I do believe they can keep this within two touchdowns at home.
Okay. You feel pretty good about it?
I feel okay about it.
All right. What do you lay on a game like that? A smaller.
I do like to, unless I feel really confident in one.
Right.
I don't. I like to be relatively consistent.
Okay.
On what I play. I like to feel that all mine are pretty good. But then sometimes there's just ones where, like, this is too easy. I have to lay.
Yeah, you just gotta hammer it.
Like the. Right.
I'm just saying that's not a game you're gonna hammer.
I don't believe so. Okay. No.
All right.
If I had to hammer a bigger dog this week, I would probably do Louisiana Tech getting 22 against Mississippi State.
Okay.
That offense, the Mississippi State offense, still not great, even though I had Texas A&M last week, and that was another tough one, A&M not covering there. And Nick Fitzgerald having an 84-yard pass and like a 78-yard touchdown run for Mississippi State. But if you take those away, if you just take away all those huge plays that resulted in touchdowns, like they would have barely scored.
Right, exactly.
But no, I do believe Louisiana Tech, they covered a big number against LSU this year. This is it's the first game of November. It's kind of later in the year. Mississippi State's fighting to try to stay alive in the SEC. And then Louisiana Tech comes to town.
Are they in the West?
They are. They're fighting for a bowl game. They're not. I guess they're not fighting for an SEC West division title. Yeah, but they've not played Bama yet.
I would expect that to go one way. And one way only.
Yeah. Well, they almost beat Bama last year.
Yeah. Almost.
Almost. A lot of teams have almost beat Bama over the years.
Right.
North Carolina is at home getting 5 against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's quarterback is going to play.
Okay.
But I correctly faded Georgia Tech after they beat the crap out of Louisville the next week because I don't believe they are a good team this year. I actually had some high hopes for Georgia Tech.
Like a little after an emotional big win.
They just went on the road and beat Virginia Tech, and now they're
come out a little flat.
Now they're on the road. Now they're on the road again against a North Carolina team that is not as bad as their record would indicate. Although they did not play well last week,
they're getting 5 on that.
They are getting 5. I think that'll probably maybe drop a little bit as the week goes on. Like Travis, Mr. Unit had, I do like the Pitt UVA over 49. Boston College. This is one I don't feel super great about at the moment.
Okay.
Because I also conversely like Georgia Tech to fade them after a win. I don't like to fade Virginia Tech after a loss. Ooh. I think Justin Fuente is a really good coach. I do believe that he is very good at getting them to rebound. I think they've only lost back-to-back games once under him.
At Vitek.
And now they're on the road, a tough environment, Boston College. Their defense is shaky. And I also don't like it because I do have the Boston College over 6.5 wins for the year, and I think they're at 6.
Did Boston College still got the really cool head coach? Just guys being dudes?
Adazio?
Yeah.
What's better than this?
Just guys being
guys
dudes.
Guys being dudes.
This is some of the best Vines. YouTube videos.
Vines. Yeah, they were Vines.
Now they're YouTube videos, but they were Vines.
Yeah, so I'm going to be a dude this week.
All right. I like that.
Adazio, he is a...
He's great. Some of those Vines really are people... If you don't know,
very short shorts in the video. For people, look up.
Just go look up guys being dudes.
Yeah, Google Steve Adazio Vines, and you're gonna have dudes to the left, dudes to the right, stuck in the middle with
what
you.
What did he call them? Lyman you, or because BJ Raji went there, and like something else. He's like two dudes.
Oh, Matt Ryan.
Yeah,
I think it was like Matt Ryan and BJ Raji.
Yeah,
just a couple of dudes.
Yeah, something like that, right?
So I do like Boston College. I do like Steve Adazio. I do like those Vines. And therefore, I am now officially taking Boston College
perfect
to win on the road as a one-point favorite. Penn State, I like them if they're getting double digits against Michigan. Michigan offense much better this year. Defense amazing, but
Penn State's not that good, are they?
Their offense is not what it should be, no.
Is that Trace McSorley's fault, or whose fault is that?
Never Trace's fault first.
Okay.
I don't think they're as explosive at receiver as they need to be. They obviously don't have Saquon.
Is Trace good?
I think he's a good college quarterback.
Is he his accuracy better than Christian Hackenberg?
Yes.
Is he better than...
He's the best Penn State quarterback since Michael Robinson.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay.
No.
We can move on then. Keep it in North Carolina from earlier. NC State, FSU is garbage.
DeAndre Francis, terrible.
I have been saying
so
that.
So bad. Well, not so terrible. Bad.
So after his freshman year, his redshirt freshman year, I was like, I don't believe he's that good.
Who did they play last week?
They lost by 40
to Clemson.
Oh, my God.
I was watching the Clemson game, right. And I was, oh, well, that's not fair. It's Clemson, but. It wasn't good.
It was bad enough where they caught somebody in the stands reading a book.
Yeah, with his shirt off. Yeah, yeah. I saw it. I was
with
laughing.
His shirt off.
Yeah, it was funny.
He looked good.
Doe Campbell.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me about this game.
They're
NC
bad.
State.
Also not good, NC State. They've been exposed as frauds. They lost big to Clemson. They just lost to Syracuse. They are not good. But
okay.
Florida State is real bad. They're going on the road. They're going to score a little bit probably, but I think they've given up. I think that was it for them last week. I think they've just given up now.
Who's the FSU coach?
Willie Taggart.
Mm.
His first year there. I give him time.
Like Kentucky or like where did he come from?
So he was Western Kentucky. USF to okay. Oregon to Florida State.
Yeah, Western Kentucky was my what I was thinking.
Yeah. Surprised you knew that Willie Taggart. Just got to start at Western Kentucky.
You know?
Sometimes you surprise me.
Yeah, I pull things out.
Sometimes you surprise me.
I don't know where from, but I pull it out.
I already went over Louisiana Tech getting 22 at Mississippi State. So that's what I was looking at early part. Didn't have a chance to look too much, but...
Since we're on college football, you just want to talk quickly about top 25. Who you got coming out tonight?
Oh, yeah. So this obviously won't air till Thursday, so we don't know who is going to be revealed, which that reveal is the biggest sham ever.
Yeah, who cares?
It's like
I could care less.
It is literally like it's like American Idol. You know how they like
yeah, it's like, oh, you're going to Hollywood.
It's like no, sick. It's like we're gonna have the results for you right after this. And it's they're picking for a playoff that isn't gonna happen for another 4 months. 3 months. It's the end of October and they'll play
November, December. Like 2 months.
Two and a half. Give me two and a half.
They'll
play like January 13th this year.
It's not the 9th. It's the 9th this year.
It's the 9th?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you 9 weeks.
That's two and a half.
I'll give you 9 weeks.
9 weeks? Okay. But no, so I think I said this last week. The ideal playoff as of now is Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, or Michigan.
We both agree that it's Alabama, Clemson, 1-2.
Oh, there's no chance.
Right.
No chance.
And then 3-4, you have...
Yeah, are you asking what I think it's going to be or what my would be?
No, just right now, what do you think it's going to be?
What do I think it's going to be?
Yeah.
I think it would be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and then I don't think it'll be Michigan, although I think they have a case.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be Oklahoma, especially now that Texas loss doesn't look nearly as good.
Because Texas just lost?
Yeah, oh, that Texas win.
Oh, Texas win.
No, that Texas lost. That's what I said. Now you've lost to a Texas team that's lost to Maryland, that didn't have a head coach, playing its first game without a coach, and now a Texas team that lost, granted, on the road against what's usually a solid Oklahoma State program, but they were not good this year. Honestly, if I had to guess who is going to be number four today, probably LSU. They have the one. They have the one loss. At Florida, they have the win over a top 10 Georgia team. They have a win over Miami, who probably
it's
isn't
terrible.
Going to be ranked, but
yeah.
It's still going to constitute as probably a
quality
win.
Well, that was week
win.
One, right? That was like the kickoff game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was week one.
Classic Miami, always ranked like 12.
Yep.
Unranked by the time Halloween comes around. Like,
I mean, yeah, I think LSU has legitimate, they should be in the top. If you go based on resume, they should be in the top four.
Okay. So it's between them or probably Michigan, you think?
What's that?
Do you think it's probably, if it's not LSU?
No, I think it's LSU.
Okay.
And I think, honestly, it could be partly LSU because I know it's going to cause a little bit of an uproar.
SEC?
Yeah, it's going to be like, oh, we got two SEC teams in there again?
Well,
it could be crazy.
One of them won't be in it come Saturday night.
See, I don't necessarily agree
for
with
the
that.
Time being, and then one of them could work their way back.
All right, so
like Bama could work their way back in, obviously.
But say LSU beats Bama,
right?
Now LSU has one loss. Bama has one loss. Bama's going to probably finish the year with one loss. They're going to be 11-1, and will have looked like the best team in the country for probably 11 of those weeks.
Correct.
LSU, if they win out, they are now 12-1, and they're obviously in the playoff.
Right.
What happens?
What if they lose
if
in
Georgia,
the SEC championship thing?
What if Georgia beats him in the SEC championship?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And you have Georgia 12-1.
Who's 1-1 against LSU?
Who's 1-1 against LSU? You have LSU, who's
then LSU's
11-2.
I feel like LSU probably always gets left out of things.
And you have Bama at 11-1, who lost to LSU.
No, you set up the rematch from last year, and you tell LSU that you're sorry.
Oh, so you put LSU out because they have two losses? Even though they would have beaten both those teams?
Yeah. I put Georgia and Bama in, probably.
See, I don't think... I think... Because then you're probably having, like, a Georgia at number one, and you probably have to... You have to a back-to-back rematch. You couldn't do Bama-LSU or Bama-LSU... LSU-Georgia.
Well, you're not going to leave Bama out, right? So...
What if they would put... They would never put three in, but you could certainly make a case...
That would be crazy.
Because if Notre Dame loses to whatever's left on their schedule, they don't deserve to make it in.
No.
Michigan.
No. Notre Dame has to run the table,
Michigan,
for sure.
If Michigan loses again, they're out. If Ohio State loses again, they're out. And Ohio State might be out already because they got killed on the road at Purdue, and they have not looked great all year.
I know.
However, they would have wins at Michigan and at Penn State, so you're right. They probably get in on that. I'm just throwing it out there.
There's a lot of scenarios. That's what makes it fun, right?
Yeah. But as far as what happens tonight, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I think the best possible playoff scenario is Bama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame and or Michigan 3, or not and or, Notre Dame or Michigan 3, Oklahoma 4. I would think the best chance to beat Alabama in the semifinal is with Oklahoma's offense because Alabama will give up some points this year. Okay. Okay.
Fair enough.
Fair. All right. With that, I think we can wrap that up, right?
I'm good.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
I gave it my all today.
You really did.
I'm going to bed immediately when I get home.
Are you?
Yeah.
I slept for like 5 hours in Denver, and I was in a meeting first thing Monday morning getting run off the airport, and I was literally hallucinating in there. I had several people pull me aside afterward and tell me, I made a very, very poor impression of myself because I was just like, I was unable to stay awake. I would blink and my eyes wouldn't open again.
Wow.
Wasn't good.
Wow.
Wasn't good.
Well, folks.
Yeah. Don't do the red eye right to work.
Maybe that's your moral victory of the week. Not being fired after a poor display.
Yeah. It wasn't my best effort. It was a moral victory, to make it through that meeting, but that is it for our show. Follow along on Twitter, Jared_Schenker. Follow the website for picks, jaredschenker.com/picks. And we will see you next week.